War Now, the Wayne Allyn Root Show, every day on USA Radio Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, as well as my national TV show, War Now, on Newsmax TV every day at 8 p.m. Eastern time. But I'm everywhere leading the conservative fight on Fox News, on hundreds of radio shows as a guest, writing books like Angry White Male, my newspaper columns, even on CNN. I'm a conservative warrior fighting for conservatism, capitalism, American exceptionalism, and Judeo-Christian values. And of course, I will always be the fiercest defender in the media for my great President Donald J. Trump. But it all starts at my website, RootForAmerica.com. You'll find the hottest stories, news headlines, my passionate, in-your-face, take-no-prisoners, conservative commentaries, and popular videos. The left will win this war over my cold, dead body. So every day, start your day with the news and opinions that matter to conservatives and patriots at my site, RootForAmerica.com, or listen to my radio show at USARadio.com, or watch my TV show at NewsmaxTV.com. Above all, be sure to root for America.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do well. At least I can. Fair and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Stephen Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
All right, local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. For our surrounding area, 65 out there right now, heading up towards 70 today. Tonight, possible showers in the evening, low in the 60s, and possible showers on Tuesday. Highs will be near 70 Tuesday and Wednesday, and then, again, chance of showers. The lows will be down in the 50s at night. Thursday, another chance of showers, very slight chance in the morning, clearing up later on.
Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here at Chef Bill's Table. Nice Monday morning, or whenever you choose to listen, talking about food-related items, holidays, parties, anything else, right? Seasonal, non-seasonal, ways to cook, but also to enjoy. I'm the chef at a restaurant here, Jake's Restaurant. So we like to see our guests come out once in a while, more the merrier, but obviously, you need some strategies for cooking at home. So, what's going on this week? Oh, fall, I think, coming up, a future show. I think next week might focus on some fruits, apples maybe, or cooking with apples, maybe some pears. But this week, I found, actually, National Potato Day is the 27th. I have to do a little discussion about potatoes at some time, too. Always a favorite thing, right? Something besides French fries, though. French fries are everywhere. We go through a lot of them at the restaurant. People still seem to like them, but many other things we can do with potatoes. So this last week, so I was thinking about something to do with salmon. We do cedar planked through the summer, the warmer months. It's always nice. It gives a slight cedar smoky flavor. We bake it in the oven. We char the plank on the grill, butterfly the salmon fillet, so it cooks evenly, and it seems to be a nice slower baking process. Even though the oven's very hot, When you have it on a metal platter, sometimes, you know, it gets a little seared there. The cedar kind of insulates the salmon, so it stays nice and moist. And we've been doing it with, you know, with a seasonal vegetable, salt potatoes, a nice green herb sauce, which is summery, right? Good for warm weather. A little olive oil and herbs, but thinking of changing it up for the cooler times. And I'd seen on menus and cookbooks French lentils with salmon, beans and fish. So I thought, actually, there's a few combinations out there we'll go through today. But fish and beans, good, again, good combination. And I know we're celebrating potatoes this week, but as a side dish or as a base for foods, beans are obviously good for you. And you're getting kind of your starch with that. It's a starchy vegetable. They're always around. And you can garnish them or add to them many kinds of flavors. We take on a, you know, a French style or an Italian style, a Southwestern style. Many ways to do this. Asian, if you like. So I thought, I saw, you know, roasted salmon with French lentils, the green lentils. Now, the lentils, little coin-shaped legumes, they're cook up relatively quickly, just like split peas. When you're making lentil soup, which is always, we've done that through the Oktoberfest, we like a, always like a Bavarian lentil soup with the sliced sausages in it. And, of course, cassoulet, the great bean dish, that comes up when the weather gets cooler. We always do that a little bit at the restaurant. It's another favorite dish. So I found the green lentils. You could use the black lentils also. The green lentils seem to hold the shape better, as do the black. The regular brown lentils sometimes, you know, they cook great for a soup because they kind of, like split peas, they kind of puree almost. So the green lentils, found some, and actually when they cook up, they're not that green. They turn a little dark anyway, so black, called beluga lentils, they're a little smaller. But these have a nice nutty flavor. I remember years ago, I used to get a lentil pilaf. One of my sons had a wheat allergy. And, of course, pasta and things were getting kind of out of the question for a family meal. And lentil pilaf seemed to be a favorite, mixed with some rice. And the rice and the lentils actually cook at about the same rate when you're cooking them as a side dish or as a vegetable base. It takes less than an hour, and it's better to undercook them than to overcook them. You want them to remain separate. So what I did, rinse them first, obviously, let them drain, and I started with some onions and carrots and celery, pretty finely chopped because lentils are small. You want to keep that nice, and you want everything to cook evenly also. So I started a little bit of, just a little bit of olive oil and sauteed the vegetable. I did throw a little garlic in there, and you almost think it's too strong, but the beans really absorb a lot of flavor. So don't be afraid to put a little bit in there. You won't even know it at the end, really. It's not really the predominant. Now, for herbs, a couple of ways you could do this. I like the parsley and some thyme and bay leaf. If you like the herbs whole, I would say put a couple of sprigs and bay leaf and parsley sprigs. You can tie them together with a small string if you want and float them in the beans as you're cooking them, or use chopped thyme, chopped parsley. The bay leaf you can always fish out at the end. That's the idea of using the whole herbs. You can take them out at the end. You don't have them floating around. But I like the parsley in there. Anyway, I would finish the dish with more parsley as it is anyway. So, and add water. And you just have to taste the water for salt. You want it to be have enough salt in there to flavor it. And we'll season with pepper at the end. But you braise these lentils, you know, stir them occasionally, don't boil them hard. Let's see, for a box of lentils, a pound or so, probably used 5 to 5.5 cups of water. You could use chicken broth if you want. You could use a vegetable broth. That would kind of substitute for the salt if you like. But I did, just kind of keeping it simple, I used water. And when the lentils, after about 15 minutes or so, you know, there's still a little al dente, I guess you could call it, a little bite to them. I added some chopped fresh tomatoes, mainly because we're still getting good Jerseys here, and they're delicious. You could probably use canned tomatoes, chopped up if you like, but I put the fresh tomatoes in there. So after 30-35 minutes or so, the beans are done and ready to go. Now, we've finished those with a little bit of red wine vinegar and some mustard. Not much, you know, a couple of tablespoons in there, and stir that in at the end. It gives that little sharpness, little acidity, which you need. So when we serve this, we're roasting the salmon. One of the guests had a little trouble understanding roasting salmon, but we just in the kitchen, pan roasting fish is a favorite way, especially a thicker slice or a fillet. And simply start it, we just salt and pepper the fish, a little canola oil, get the pan very, very hot. Salmon is nice. You don't have to really flour it. If you're using a leaner fish, you may want to dust it with a little bit of Wonder Flour to give it a nice crispy crust. But if you're doing tuna or swordfish or salmon, the fattier fish, you really don't need to put flour. It will not stick. You have your oil nice and hot, and put your, what we call the presentation side, your best side, in the pan first, and get a nice sear on it. And when it's ready to flip, it will let you know, because the fish will loosen up. And what we do is we'll have a 425 to 450 degree oven going. We flip the fish over in the pan and then finish it off in the oven. So it's not really broiling it, not high heat, but fairly rapid heat, fairly high heat. And when the salmon's done, this way you can cook it at temperature. If you like it a little bit underdone, which I do, it's fine if you want to cook it all the way. But a nice salmon fillet, again, has the fat content. Now, we take the fish out. We have a bed of these lentils, nice warm lentils, and something else to accent the dish traditionally would be a little green salad. Arugula would come to mind. Now, we used a spring mix, a little fresh tomato and onion. And we dressed it with our herb vinaigrette. Now, you could make a simple Dijon vinaigrette, a little bit of shallot and mustard, your red wine vinegar, ratio about 3 parts oil to 1 part vinegar, salt and pepper, and you'll whisk the vinegar and the mustard together to make kind of a loose paste, and then whisk in the oil a little bit of a time. It'll give you an emulsification. It won't stay together too long. Of course, in the cooler weather, the olive oil emulsifies a little bit better. It acts kind of like butter. If you've ever taken extra virgin olive oil and put it in the refrigerator, you know, it gets not hard like butter, but it firms up a little bit. So you have this light vinaigrette, and dress your salad with that and drizzle a little bit more on the salmon, you've got a great dish. Now, another option to that, if you wanted to add some diced potatoes to the lentils, you could make a little more of a stew out of it. I thought even, you know, if you had some peppers, make some nice roasted peppers or sautéed peppers and onions as another kind of a side dish, or any kind of greens. Greens and beans go well together. We're getting broccoli rabe in now, and that would have gone well with it, too. But I like when you've got soft food, you've got the salmon, you've got the beans, you want something, you want a little crunch there, right? And not having to put fried things on there. We have nice oils with the salmon and the olive oil and the dressing. And we decided to go with a nice, fresh, crisp salad. So this is something, the lentils don't take that long to cook. You could make them ahead and reheat them if you like. And salmon, to me, was the good fish, but like I say, tuna, if I did tuna, I don't know if you could sear it rare and do it, I suppose, but it might be even better to poach it in olive oil, make like a confit instead of canned tuna, get a nice fresh tuna and confit it. Swordfish would be very good with this. We've got a break for a couple of words here, and we'll come back and look at a couple other possibilities for fish and beans at Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's. Purely delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and sold through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Table here, back at Chef Bill's Table. Fish and beans also, oh, a little aside from, with your lentils, if you like, if you have your oven on, a nice roasted sliced cauliflower would be another option for adding another vegetable and something with a little bit of nice crisp texture to it. Simply, I wouldn't do florets. I would get a cauliflower more in slices. You could even, some places even do a cauliflower steak. They cut right through the couple of center cuts out there with the core still intact, holding it together, and grill it or roast it. So another option for the salmon and lentils. So another classic white beans, cannellini beans, often paired with shrimp, although they would be good in with some other fish too, but shrimp's always good, right? Quick to cook. Sometimes these are served cold. We've made chilled bean salads in the summertime. The cannellinis, now when we get into these kind of beans, question is always, do I get the dried ones and cook them, soak them? Do I use canned ones? And I guess the answer is, depending on your time factor, the canned beans are a great convenience item. And some recipes you may call for rinsing them, draining them and rinsing them first. If you're doing, say, a salad, because you're going to add some dressing and other things to it. We do it, say, kidney beans for chili, for example. We use some of the liquids, you know, a little bit of flavor from the beans. You have to just watch the your salt content of your finished dish, but there is some of the starch comes off the beans, and if you need that in there, and you're not cooking right from scratch, then you want to save a little bit of that liquid. It is, you know, adds a little body to your dish. Cannellinis, I've found, using imported ones, even though they're dry, they seem to cook up relatively quickly without even soaking them. And like any dried product, you know, they could be on the shelf for a while. There's dry, and then there's real, real dry. You know, that extra few percent of water that's evaporated out there. But it's odd to say a fresh dried bean. But you really look for something that is freshly dried rather than sitting around for a while. But the cannellinis cook up nice and soft, a little bit better than the white beans. Or Great Northern are okay, good substitute, but they're not quite as good. The cannellinis have that, they're like a white kidney bean, if you will, but they cook up nice and soft. They do hold their texture. You just got to catch them at that point. That's the advantage of using canned, is it's cooked right to the point you need them. But freshly cooked, we found really good flavor. So what you do with these, Tuscan style, more or less, and this would be something you could do, say, when you have some time, to get them cooked. And the Tuscan style beans, you know, well, like any cooked vegetable, they hold up for a few days. And you could have the shrimp and beans one night, and then the beans could go into a soup another time if you had some left. And if you're any of these beans, if you're doing black beans or red beans and rice, if you're cooking the beans, cook a little bit extra. You can always use them, right? So 2 cups of cannellini, and we're going to have about 20 sage leaves, fresh. Fresh sage is good for this. The dried rub sage would be, it's good to seek out a little bit of sage for this. And enough water. You can soak them again if you like. If they're freshly dried, then as I say, I've cooked them without soaking them, and they're fine. If you do the quick soak, the quick method with the baking soda and the hot water, make sure you discard that water. You don't want that baking soda in there. And it really does depend on your water. If you've got acidic water or acidic cooking medium, if you're cooking them in an acidic broth, even onions can throw a little bit of acid in there depending on the time of year, the beans will stay a little firmer. So we like to, you know, we use plain water. If you use, don't use hot water out of the tap, because that's, if you've got a water softener, you've got that salt that's used in there, that's not really the best thing to drink anyway. So you've got your beans, cover them with a couple, 3 inches. We'll save the salt for later. And so you're going to cook about 1 hour. You don't want these, again, you don't want these beans to be mush or puree like you would for a soup. You want them to retain their texture. So after an hour, you can then add some little bit of minced garlic. Or if you don't want the pieces in there, you could throw some cloves of garlic in, even when you're cooking the beans, and then fish them out later, get a nice mild flavor. And that's when you would salt the beans. Now you have these sage garlic beans. You know, a little bit of olive oil will finish these. And then simply you can cook the shrimp right in with the beans the last few minutes. Shrimp don't take that long to cook. Or you could grill them or saute them and serve them over top. If there's a little bit too much liquid in there, of course, you want to drain some of it off. But if you've measured right, it's better to have to add a little bit of water than to drown them and put, you know, too much water in there. Just kind of have to watch it. And you taste. You make sure the texture is right. And remember, as they sit, they're going to keep cooking. So you want them, again, to hold their shape. If they do overcook a little bit, not the end of the world. Some people like to even crush some of them, have some of them kind of in a mashed up, and then some whole ones. And almost any fish would go with this. And this is a dish that served warm is nice. If you want to add some tomatoes, I've done it even, you know, whether chilled or warm. Tomatoes really go well in there. 2 cups of tomatoes would be nice in there, chopped tomatoes. Spinach, you could add some fresh spinach if you want to add some green to it, beans and greens. And now we're starting to build again. And then to really flesh this out, if you like, potatoes, cube cooked potatoes could go in there, but even cut pasta. Or if you had some ditalini, or if you have some penne, or some ziti. But you want to cut it up. You don't want the big pieces in there. So any of these could help turn the fish, the shrimp, and beans into, again, a nice meal. If you're cooking the cannellinis, all the better. If you need to use canned ones, really now, you could save yourself a lot of time. Heat up the beans with, again, the garlic and the sage in there, and add your fish, and you're done with it. Now, if you have these base, again, the beans, I mentioned cassoulet earlier, cassoulet, the great pork, duck confit, and sausage. You could also turn these white beans into a seafood cassoulet. And in that case, you could use a variety of fish in there. If you wanted to even add a little bit of smoked fish to give it that bacon-like flavor, you could do that. But add the fish in the order that they'll be cooked. And if you have some chunks of, say, swordfish or halibut could go in there, and maybe something like shrimp would add a little bit later, and have a nice hearty stew that you could even finish off in the oven if you like, if you don't want to stand there. And you really don't want to stir it too much once you put the fish in, because shrimp is fine. It doesn't break up, but any other kind of fish, if you overstir it, of course, it's just going to flake once it cooks. You've kind of lost the integrity of the fish. Another quick, easy one, and this would be using green beans, would be a stir fry. And stir fries, you don't need to have a variety of vegetables. You could if you wanted to make it a vegetable dish, but just shrimp, if you had lobster, scallops, or any firm fish that you could cut up in cubes. You know, mako shark might work for this, mahi-mahi. But a simple green bean stir fry, and this time you'd use, obviously, your fresh green beans would be good. If they're a little bit late in the season, sometimes they get a little hard there. You might want to blanch them first. But a classic Chinese dish, dry fried string beans, are an example of just a straight vegetable you could use. But with that little bit of soy, your favorite stir fry combinations, right? A little sherry or rice wine and soy sauce. We always like to finish with a little sesame oil. You have your ginger, your garlic, and your scallions. And just keep it simple, just the fish and the green beans. If you want to put something red in there, of course, thin sliced carrots would always work, or peppers, red peppers would complement them nicely. But you could get a nice stir fry going with the green beans. We've got a break for news here, and then we'll be back and look at a couple of other fish and bean dishes. Chef Bill's Table. Try to give you consolation.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There have been more than a half dozen deadly terrorist attacks in Afghanistan in the past week alone. Military officials there are looking for answers, as we hear from Bill Zimfer.
After a weekend Taliban attack on a military training base left 15 Afghan Army cadets dead, the recent toll continued to build. On Friday, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a Shia mosque in Kabul, killing 56, and since last Tuesday, there have been 7 7 major terror assaults in Afghanistan, killing more than 250 people. In a statement, Afghan president terrorist groups would soon be suppressed and destroyed.
Former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly refutes a new report in the New York Times claiming that he agreed to a $32 million settlement with former Fox News legal analyst Lee Wheel. O'Reilly tweeting that the report is lies and smears. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. All of you know what my insanely busy life is like. 12 careers in businesses, national radio and TV, books, speeches. So I don't have much time to sleep. But when I do sleep, it better be quality sleep. And that's been my problem for years. I toss and turn and wake up 10 times a night. I never realized why until now. My Pillow just sent me pillows for me and my entire family. Now, for the first time in my life, I'm sleeping like a baby. I wake up feeling like $1 million. Thank you, My Pillow. You changed my life. And my kids all love My Pillow too. The whole Root family is a believer in My Pillow. How about this? My Pillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Wow. To get 50% off a 4-pack of pillows, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special. Use promo code USA. That's it. You get 50% off at MyPillow.com. Or call 800-951-8175. That's 800-951-8175. And use promo code USA.
Table here, Chef Bill's table, fish and beans. Now, one of my favorites, of course, it's at least in the Northeast, the end of the season where you get corn, but you can usually find some around somewhere. And corn is one of those vegetables that freezes well, and probably best kept secret. You know, when corn hasn't appeared yet, and in restaurants that offer corn on their summer menu, you've got to source it from somewhere else. But even the super sweet, and super sweet is a variety of corn. If you see it, find it, that corn freezes well. If you need to use frozen corn, no shame in it. I like the super sweet. You can use white, yellow, mix, whatever you want. But that variety gives you a good flavor. And beans also freeze well, green beans. I found there's some vegetables that just, you know, for me don't work that well. Spinach is one. It's frozen spinach, unless you're going to puree it. It's really... much better to get fresh. I know it's easier to store frozen, but, you know, it doesn't... asparagus kind of loses its texture. It's okay, but not the best. Broccoli, you know, you're not getting that benefit of the nice flavor cooking it from raw. And then some vegetables, well, there's a lot of prep to, like corn, you know, you want to cook it as soon as it's picked. So you're almost better off, instead of buying corn that's fresh but old... You know, the sugar kind of, the sweetness kind of disappears pretty quickly. You're better off getting a frozen that was picked at the peak of ripeness and blanched and flash frozen. So you've got benefit of, you know, the best of the harvest. Now, succotash, and people, I've talked succotash, one of my favorite dishes, and far beyond the little combination you see in the freezer, the baby lima beans and corn. And that's not really doing succotash justice. Succotash, a nice combination. It does have beans and corn, but seasonally you could use different beans and even corn in different stages. You could use hominy if you wanted instead of the kernel corn. Before refrigeration, corn and the beans were dried, and then you're just bringing it back in a liquid. Now, lima beans, we like them. You see the forward hooks, you see the baby limas. Those are an immature version of what we have called a butter bean. A butter bean, you're going to see, and those, I believe, come canned also, but you get those dried. Either way, they're the mature lima bean, which is a little beige yellowish type color, but you know, a little bigger and good and starchy. Good starchy base for this dish, but and with the corn, you've got, you know, some protein, sugars. You've got a lot going on, and what we like to do is add some green beans to this succotash also. And right now, this time of year, probably would work out. Now, if limas aren't your thing or butter beans aren't your thing, edamame, the soybeans work very well. You don't have that starchy consistency, a little firmer, but the appearance is there, the flavor, and obviously the nutritional content of the soybean. We've done that before. Now, when you're making a succotash, the thing with the corn, with the fresh corn, when you take the kernels off the cob, is you scrape the cob to get that milk out of there. If you're using frozen corn, of course, you don't have that benefit. You want that little bit of liquid in the succotash. It's not supposed to be just a dry vegetable side. So what I've done to kind of compensate for that, if you're using, say you've got succotash, you've got a 2 cups of fresh limas, you know, the or edamame, or frozen, 2 cups of cut green beans. If you're using fresh, of course, you're going to blanch them first for a couple of minutes. It just sets the color nicely. 10 ears of corn, probably yield, I don't know, you need about 3 cups of corn kernels. If you're not using fresh, if you're using frozen, I would take about 1/2 cup of those kernels and pulse them in a food processor, kind of puree them up a little bit. It's going to give that succotash that little bit of body that you would otherwise get from the corn milk. Need about a few ounces, 6 ounces of salt pork or nice slab bacon. And we'll need a bunch of scallions. We're going to finish with those, nice green onion. And set aside 2 to 3 tablespoons of heavy cream. So making the succotash, we're going to, you've got your limas. Those could be blanched off if you're using fresh ones. Or if you're using butter beans, or even if you have canned butter beans, you don't have to worry, I guess. Just rinse them off. You've got your blanched vegetables. You render out that fat from the salt pork or the slab bacon. You're going to have it cut into cubes, if you like, or thin strips, lardon, if you will. And you want to get that fairly crispy. And then you can set it aside. Now, you want to save a little bit of that pork fat, not too much, and you're going to add your beans. You've got your limas that have been blanched, or if you're using frozen ones, they're already blanched. You have your green beans and your corn. If the corn is raw, you could add the corn first because you want that to cook. You want it to cook all the way. And simply saute this. Add some of that corn milk to it, or if you've pureed the other ones, you just want to get these vegetables cooking. If you think they need a little bit of water or broth, that's fine, but you don't want too much in there because you're going to add some cream at the end. So you have the succotash. You make sure your beans, everything gets cooked, and then meantime you've chopped your bunch of scallions, which should probably be about 6 scallions or so. Use some of the green part too. And you'll stir this in at the end. They don't take long to cook. You want that nice, bright, mild onion flavor. And then add your heavy cream. Now you've got this succotash that's got a little bit of body, a little texture to it. It's not really a soup, but, you know, a little more holding it together. And now your fish, you could use a variety of fish. Cod would come to mind, monkfish. Nice monkfish medallions, again, halibut if you can find it. A scrod would be okay. Scallops. You could do either one fish or do a variety. And now ways to cook this fish, depending on the flavor. I mean, if I had a nice chunk of cod, I would probably pan roast it. But if you wanted to keep it a little bit, you know, more or less fat-free, I guess you could steam it. If you're steaming the fish, you would probably need a nice broth or what we call a court bouillon. Court bouillon, you have water, you have some lemon juice, some white wine, some parsley and bay leaf in there, some peppercorn, maybe a little bit of lemon peel if you want, that flavor. If you want to make an aromatic broth, or if you've bought some shrimp for this dish, you could make a broth out of the shrimp shells. Now, you have your broth, you get a steamer basket, and you would steam the fish over top of this broth. You could poach the fish, but then you've got to be careful. I mean, you're going to actually flavor that broth a little bit with some of the fish. Steaming is probably better. Or if you have a low oven, you could put some of the broth in a casserole and let the fish slowly bake in that. Some way just to preserve the texture and the flavor, and without having to fry it, without adding a lot of butter, oils, things like that. And simply serve the fish over top of the succotash. Now you've got vegetable, you've got starch, you've got nice flavor. It all works well together, and you've taken this seemingly, you know, simple idea, what people think of as succotash, and really turned into something nice. So, using these beans and fish, find nice variety. Another one, black beans. Love black beans. And black beans, a black bean salad in the summertime, or a black bean salsa. You know, speaking of having still some corn on hand, very easy to turn into a nice dish. Now, in the past, we've done it with, if you're into smoked fish, smoked shrimp is very good on these black beans. But grilled shrimp or mako shark, swordfish, you could make little kebabs if you like. I would marinate them in some oil, a little bit of lime juice, some shallot. You could actually put a little ginger and cilantro in there. And probably, if you're marinating fish, half an hour is pretty good. You're not really marinating to tenderize it. You're just getting some flavor in there. So you could skewer the fish, especially if you're still grilling. It's not too late in the season. And put it over a nice black bean combination. It could be black beans and rice. Could be, I like a black bean salad, but you can serve the salad cold, but you can warm it up. We've done that before. We've served done it with pork. You've got that southwestern flavor in there, the black beans. Now, you could use canned for this, or you could cook your own. If you're cooking the black beans from scratch, they will take some time. Probably you could soak them first. I've done it without soaking, but just cook them with a little bit of bay leaf, and maybe if I'm cooking beans with onion, I'll just simply cut an onion in half, peel it and cut it in half, and just throw the big pieces in there. Then they're easy to fish out later. If you don't want pieces of onion, in this case we do want some pieces of onion, but that's going to come later. This black bean salad, we would use chopped onion, chopped tomato, and green peppers. You have your black beans. If you're using canned, you're going to drain them and rinse them. You don't need that starchy liquid that's in there. Add some corn if you like. And if you really want to do something, you know, you have some corn that you can roast, or even if you have if you're having frozen corn, just brown it up in a pan, a little flavor to it. But this salad is dressed with virgin olive oil, some cilantro would go in there, parsley. If you don't like cilantro, put some parsley in there, and maybe even a little bit of basil. That combination would work. But I put in some cumin or some chili powder, a little bit of oregano, dried oregano, and red wine vinegar, lime juice, and we have our olive oil. And just toss it together. You should get that, you know, kind of almost like a chili-like flavor with it. Now, with this black bean salad, you can warm this up. It's good cold, but it's fine warm. As I say, we've served it even alongside pork chops or roast chicken as a side dish. If you want to mix it with the rice, especially if you're warming it up, and with some cooked rice, it would work as a nice complete bed for grilled fish. If you don't want to light the grill, of course, you could still pan roast. In that case, if I was marinating, make sure the fish is fairly dry. And then, again, a nice hot pan, canola oil, sear up the fish, and put it over your black beans and rice. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. We'll be back at the table, Chef Bill's table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Recapping, so fish, like seafood, I know it's expensive, sometimes it seems so, but you want to dress the dish out as a protein source, very, very good for you. And being that, you know, your other choices are chicken, beef, pork, we don't eat that much variety. The variety of fish and seafood out there is... Even now, between farm-raised and wild-harvested, there's good variety out there. Different tastes, different textures. It's very quick to cook, which is nice. And you can usually buy it already filleted. Whole fish, of course, is nice if you like to get into that. Even if you're roasting whole fish. Option that, you know, would have... started, you know, in the Northeast here. Cider, It's always nice. Apple cider, of course, we think of this time of year. The regular sweet cider and, of course, hard cider. So the last few years is really a lot of ciders in the marketplace, ciders on tap in restaurants and bars. People have kind of discovered it. You know, it's one of those beverages. I mean, my wife's always liked it. It's a good option. She's not really like, it doesn't really like beers. So if you want something refreshing and little bubbles to it, hard cider is always good. Cooking fish with cider is something you may not think of. Now, you got to watch it. Hard ciders are good. I always look for the shortest ingredient list. I don't like them too sweet. I like them pretty much on the dry side. That little bit of sweetness is okay. But say, from around here, say if you had some, you know, some striped bass or even the hybrid, roasting fish with a little bit of cider and ginger, thin sliced tomatoes, lemons, thin sliced onions in the cavity there of the fish that's cleaned out, and sprinkle a little bit of cider. Adds a nice touch to it. I used to, of course, have it at home if I was making pork or chicken or anything, you know, instead of white wine. I don't have any white wine. I want to, you know, jazz up a sauce a little bit. Cider always works. And even if, again, don't get one that's too sweet. And there's some, you know, different, I mean, I've had a pear one. Pear flavored apple cider that is pretty good. I look for the dry ones though. And they say there's a lot of them out there. It's another product that you can buy. Usually there's a, you know, somebody local that makes it now. With all the craft brewing and distilling going on, there's usually some good hard cider available locally. But even steaming the fish with the cider instead of white wine, if you don't happen to have wine or if you're not crazy about it, you don't want to keep a bottle open. Vermouth always works also. Fortified wine that has a lot of herbs in it. So either of those things. But steaming a classic old, you know, northeastern dish would have been steamed bass with cider and a little bit of ginger. You've got all those, you know, the notes from the... that comes back to those days when rum was produced up north a lot in New England. You get all those kind of little sweeter flavors. Or you want a meaty... more oily fish with that would work. So try it out. Try cooking with cider. It's fall. It's that time of year. Even though cider is available all year round, pork, if you think of chicken dishes, chicken Normandy, you think of the things that can be made with cider, the liqueurs, Calvados would work if you like a little apple flavor, a little punch to it. But I've done apples pair well, again, with side dishes like potatoes, carrots, mushrooms, all those things go in there. A nice apple compote as a side dish instead of buying applesauce, which is always around. Saute some fresh apples. And, again, a little white wine, or you could put a little cider in to reinforce it. And season it with those nice warming spices if you want. Although I've done just maybe one of them, maybe only nutmeg and black pepper. If you do sugar them a little bit, you know, black pepper and brown sugar give you a nice spice aroma, especially fresh ground pepper. In fact, roasting apples, I was trying to think of, let's see, well, last year we did a kale Waldorf salad. So we did kind of a take on a Waldorf. It's, you know, a creamy mayonnaise type dressing with an apple vinaigrette. And we used the flowering kale, because kale, the real hard stuff, the dark stuff, you have to chop it ahead of time, let it sit. I mean, if you're doing that at home, it's fine. You got to soften it up a little bit. We used the flowering kale. It's kind of like a light cabbagey flavor. The sliced apples, did some spicy, there's some toasted walnuts. Spiced them up a little bit. Some raisins and celery. Classic Waldorf, of course, is apples, celery, and mayonnaise. Somewhere along the line, walnuts got added, and then even grapes. So as an out of the grapes, you do the raisins. Now, this salad worked out well, but I thought about roasting the apples, and I did this. I ran a little experiment. I took some apples and just quartered them and took the seeds out. Rub them a little canola oil, no other seasoning. at a 425 to 450 degree oven. It took 10 to 12 minutes or so. You don't want them soft. It's not dessert. You want these still to have some texture in them. So you've got that little bit of cooked apple, kind of sweetens them, especially if your apples aren't real, real sweet. I use a Gala apple, kind of a good all-purpose one for us. The Granny Smiths are great for pies and baking. You want something very firm. The Gala for me, Fuji apples work. You've got still, you know, that nice eating apple sweetness, but you've got some good texture to it. Other apples break down too easily. Macintosh are always there, but we've got to do something besides Mac apples. So, but roasted apples, you get that still that raw inside and that cooked outside, and slice those up on your salad or as a side dish. If you've got the oven on, roast some apples, especially if you have some and think, oh, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them. You don't have time to make applesauce. You don't want to make a dessert. Roasted apples go very well as a side dish. Now we're going to wind down here. We've got to escape. Another hour gone. Next week, who knows, we might get to talk more about apples or fall fruits. A couple of weeks, we'll have Pete back from the Spice Company, Black River. Maybe do the fall herbs, parsley, sage, rosemary, thyme. We'll start to talk about, we have Thanksgiving coming up. All kinds of things happening here. So stay tuned to the table every Monday, or catch us on Rewind or in a podcast at 100inchchamberradio.com. Talk to you soon.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, 100inchchamberradio.com, brought to you by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to 100inchchamberradio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce.
The news is sponsored by the 100in Medical Center. 100in Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100in Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100in Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.100inhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
There have been more than a half dozen deadly terrorist attacks in Afghanistan in the past week alone. Military officials there are looking for answers, as we hear from Bill Zimfer.
After a weekend Taliban attack on a military training base left 15 Afghan Army cadets dead, the recent toll continued to build. On Friday, a suicide bomber blew himself up in a Shia mosque in Kabul, killing 56. And since last Tuesday, there have been seven major terror assaults in Afghanistan, killing more than 250 people. In a statement, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani said the terrorist groups would soon be suppressed and destroyed.
Former Fox News host Bill O'Reilly refutes a new report in the New York Times claiming that he agreed to a $32 million settlement with former Fox News legal analyst Lise Wiehl. O'Reilly tweeting that the report is lies and smears. This is USA Radio News.
There are certain people you can always trust. Your grandma, your grandma's friends, lifeguards, action movie heroes who tell you to trust them. But there's no one you can trust more than your doctor. And when it comes to their own frequent heartburn, doctors and pharmacists trust the power of the purple pill, Nexium 24 Hour. And when you choose Nexium 24 Hour, you'll see why. When it comes to heartburn, trust the brand doctors trust, Nexium 24 Hour. May take 1 to 4 days, use as directed.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
NFL players continue their protests during the national anthem, but on a much smaller scale than in recent weeks, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
Several San Francisco 49ers players knelt during the national anthem before their game with the Cowboys. Dallas defensive lineman David Irving raised his fist during the anthem, as did Rams defensive end Robert Quinn. Titans wide receiver Rishard Matthews remained in the tunnel for the anthem and joined his teammates